let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Back with us on This Week in America, acclaimed holistic health and lifestyle expert, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. Dr. Susan travels internationally as a frequent radio and television talk show guest and motivational speaker. She's also the author of many books, including Uplifted, A Hug and a Mug, and just released this week and already a much-celebrated gold medal award-winning book for children of all ages and also young and heart adults, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. Refer to her website, SusanSmithJones.com, to find out how to get personally autographed copies of her books. Susan, congratulations on this tremendous honor. Looking forward to talking about Joy and the Butterfly later on in today's conversation. You know, whether it's a new year, new season, or new month, anytime is a good time to make better choices about improving your health. One of the best ways to bring wellness into your world is to decrease the level of stress you experience on a daily basis and rejuvenate your body and life. Sounds like a daunting task, but really very simple with 10 surefire tips Susan will discuss with us on today's program. And with her practical suggestions, you can rejuvenate your body from head to toe, inside out. In other words, whole body, high-level wellness is now within your reach. Get out your pen and paper. You'll want to take plenty of notes on today's discussion. And with that, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Dr. Susan, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Rick. It's great to be with you again. And I think besides calling this show all about rejuvenate, because we'll use the letters, the 10 letters of the word rejuvenate as an acronym, I had to be pretty creative to do this. But it's also all about a blueprint for healthy living, body, mind, spirit, all for all ages. So I want to make it really practical with our visit today.
I like that. A blueprint. That's exactly what this is. Everything is going to be laid out for you. Of course, more information on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. If I recall, starting off, rejuvenate, an acronym, I think we'll start with R. What do we have in the R category?
Yeah, well, R is for revitalize and refresh. So when I talk about this, I wonder, are you feeling bogged down at all? And if you are, you want to build breaks into your day from sunrise to bedtime to refresh, to reset. And keep in mind, because I think most of us use computers, just as your computer can freeze up or be sluggish when you're running too many programs, your mind and spirit can get worn out from too much mental multitasking and engagement with technology. In fact, you and I were just talking about this before we started
Yes.
the show. It's okay to unplug now and then and at least press the reset button. And before you turn on your smartphone in the morning, be sure to welcome that blank slate of the morning with time set aside for nourishing mind and body. And you and I have talked about this many times before, and that's that the first 40 minutes of the day establishes the tone. So if you can set that alarm 10 minutes early to follow your inner guidance here and allow for some mindful reflection in the morning, because the quiet of the morning makes it the best time for getting organized for the day, reflecting on goals, planning your to-dos, and this may sound a little prosaic, but make sure you make your bed, because studies have found that making the bed
Yes.
each morning will boost your happiness. Make sure you have a healthy breakfast. And then what happens? You go through the day, and maybe it seems hard to reset yourself, take that reset break midday, but doing so, in addition to the morning, supports mental health, your mental health. And by the way, scarfing down your lunch in front of your computer doesn't count. You want to plan, let's just say, a 10-minute break between meetings for a quick walk around the block or maybe meditating. You want to connect with your inner self and do a self-check-in to see if you're staying on track with the goals and ideals you reflected in the early morning. And then similarly, to put the day, you know, in wraps here, you want to build time at the close of the day for connecting with yourself and taking stock of your day's events. Instead of falling asleep like many people do, mindlessly in front of the TV, make an hour before bedtime a sacred hour, if you can, or a sacred 30 minutes in which you unplug from technology. Maybe you can take a soothing bath to calm the mind and promote healthy sleep, because by adding in these protective times throughout the day, Rick, morning, midday, and evening, by adding these in, it will help you revitalize and refresh and will make a big difference in your overall well-being.
It's interesting. I used to think I'm going to set aside an hour, maybe an hour and a half, that sacred time at the end where I can just do whatever I want to. I'm going to like mentally escape. Now I'm down to about a minute and a half of sacred time before I go to bed. That slips back up there. And you're thinking, if I'm not really focused on work, on achieving something, you're falling behind everybody else. I'm going to be labeled as a slacker. And you really, as you mentioned, really do need that time. You're more productive if you take those breaks. And I love that first 40 minutes of the day. And you can imagine, the first 40 minutes sets the pace for the day, how the day is going to go. If you oversleep 15 minutes, you're pretty well done for the rest of the day. So it's important to have that time in the morning where you can relax and get things together. And you've talked about it for years on the program, and I'm seeing it all over the place now. One of the top things in mental health, getting started, is making your bed. Something that simple can get you off on the right track. I don't know why I got off on that, but let's go back to the acronym we have, where we're all the way up to R. What do we have for exercise?
For the letter E. The E is for exercise. So we exercise for vitality. A lot of people come to me quite often. Probably the three biggest things are depression, how do I lose weight, and how do I sleep better? Those are still always for decades. But to maintain weight and fitness and also reduce stress, physical activity must be a top priority. Now, everyone's different when it comes to the time of day that's best to exercise. But I will recommend, and all the experts agree, that the best time for you is simply when you can commit to it most consistently. I always like to tell people, walk your dog every day, whether you have a dog or not. And morning exercisers, like I always am, tend to be the most consistent, because our habits, you know, of exercising in the morning make it so the distractions of the day don't interfere with following through. And when you get your workout over in the morning, and I know you like that too, you eliminate the possibility of flaking out on your cardio after a long day of work.
That's the nice
and
thing.
And not only that, early exercise helps you earn your breakfast and gets those endorphins flowing first thing. So whether it's a morning yoga session or a walk around the neighborhood or a quick trip to the gym or maybe some sit-ups and push-ups at home, exercising before work gives you that boost of energy for the day. And that promise you this, that pile of paperwork at your desk will be a breeze after 300 ab reps. And if that sounds too ambitious, you know, even a quick 15-minute set of push-ups and stretching can help, and a few little ab crunches can help you feel invigorated for the day ahead. And those who are not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at the thought of a 5 a.m. jog around the block, don't despair, because a quick run or walk or a quick gym trip on your lunch break is also a great way to sneak in some midday cardio. Because exercising after work, if you don't do morning or midday, can also be a healthy opportunity to blow off the steam after the day's frustrations and burn off some of that cortisol in your system triggered by daily stresses. But here's a little important caveat. Just make sure you don't exercise too close to bedtime, you know, within 2 hours. I always say 3 hours is best, but if you did no exercise and it's 2 hours before bedtime, you can get something in, do it. because exercise raises your heart rate and body temperature, which can interfere with restful sleep. So no matter what time of day you choose, keep in mind that exercise is a bedrock of vibrant health.
We're talking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. The topic is Rejuvenate and Shine. All the information, much more, on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. Like I'm going to our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. We're up to Jay now, and you've got to join the Breakfast Club. And my thinking is, this is not a place where you sign up and you buy 10 breakfast sandwiches, you get the 11th free. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
No, you got that right. And our mom was always right, too, because breakfast is indeed the most important meal of the day. The word breakfast literally means, as many people know, breaking the fast from the night before. And breakfast actually will jumpstart your metabolism. You see, your body needs to be refueled for the tasks ahead of it during the day. And studies reveal that those people who eat a healthy breakfast will make better choices throughout the day and have a much better handle on controlling their weight. And by the way, rushing out the door with only a cup of coffee in the morning to fuel you will set you up for low blood sugar and may cause you to give in to unhealthy cravings and eat more calories to compensate during the rest of the day. So, in fact, research shows that skipping breakfast is more likely to result in a weight gain than a weight loss for that very reason. So make sure that for breakfast, for example, you consume something that's got some good protein in it because it gives you more staying power than sugars and starches. So definitely consider skipping the donut and maybe opt for something, even if you're in a hurry. Even a green smoothie where you add a little extra protein powder, put a lot of greens in it, is good. Whole grains instead of refined cereals in the morning will help power you throughout the day until lunch, like oatmeal, millet, quinoa, other high-fiber cereals are also good choices. I always go for, because it's so easy to make, and I always have greens in my house. I like to make green smoothies. They don't taste green. They look green, and they're so delicious. And then to finish up this little tip, remember what I said right at the beginning, and you brought up again. The first 40 minutes of the day sets the tone. And including a healthy breakfast in those 40 minutes not only puts your metabolism in a prime state, which is good, but also establishes a theme of healthy nourishment that can be continued throughout the day. And whether you enjoy breakfast, maybe reading the newspaper, some people still do that, watching the morning news, chatting with your kids or spouse, or alongside your cat or dog, the meal is a chance to connect before heading out into the world. And if you're always rushing in the morning, maybe you prepare the meal the night before. Maybe you set the breakfast table. Even a quick smoothie that you can make the night before, guzzled in the car in the morning, is better than no breakfast at all. And in my book, A Hug and a Mug, I give you lots of good, delicious, nutritious, easy-to-prepare breakfast ideas, and over 100 recipes for throughout the day, but breakfast. And I give you a recipe for chia, basil seed, flax seed, pudding that takes, and it's delicious, high fiber, sounds funny, so delicious. It takes 60 seconds to make it the night before, and it's ready in the morning because all the seeds have absorbed all the liquid. Anyway, so go for breakfast, everyone.
We all know people who brag about, I don't eat breakfast, and then you go to lunch and they supersize everything. It's like, I don't think you're really ahead of the ball game here from a calorie standpoint, but have a good breakfast. All these tips and many more on Dr. Susan's website. You'll also find the books that will give you all the information to help you through all of these, all of the points. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about utilizing nature's healing power. We've got so much power within us that we really need to tap in many sets of, in many circumstances. We do that with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones after these messages. Stay tuned. Coming right back. And here, that was 14 minutes and 56 seconds, and we're coming back.
Okay.
We're back this week in America. Topic today, 10 simple surefire tips for invigorating body, mind, and spirit using an acronym for the word REJUVENATE for whole body wellness. Our guest, of course, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, website susansmithjones.com. We're up to the U, and this is a very important one. They all are, but this is really, I think, important for many people, utilizing nature's healing power. Talk about that, because we're equipped to fight a lot of these problems we have within us, aren't we?
Yes, and going out, and this has to do with going outdoors and being in nature. And I know most of our parents and grandparents said to us, go outside to play. I say, go outside to play and pray. And in studies I've read for years, because I love being out in nature, my favorite thing to do. In all my research for years and in my own observation with myself and others, the more time we get to spend outdoors in nature and appreciate the beauty and the blessings of God's splendor, what I've discovered, and studies back this up, Rick, the more compassionate, forgiving, and kind we become. And I'd say in all my decades of hiking, not only here in Santa Monica, Brentwood, where I live in West LA, but also worldwide, I just can't ever recall meeting a cranky, mean-spirited, or cantankerous hiker. All of the people I pass on the trails are friendly and amiable. So, and studies have shown that when you're out in nature, it releases endorphins and serotonin from your brain that make you a happier person. It will boost your mood. You breathe in the healthy, they're called negative ions in the air, that absolutely will elevate your mood and all the cells of your body when you spend time in nature, as opposed to indoors and surrounded by technology. When you're outdoors in nature, it changes the vibrational rate of your 30 trillion plus cells in your body. So, and maybe you can't get out to hike, and maybe it's just not possible because your day is too busy. But if you have a home, and if it's possible, if you have a backyard, make it enjoyable with flowers and plants and create some beauty outdoors. You can also bring indoors plants, beautiful green plants and flowers. You could have a little fountain in your home so you can hear the bubbling water. It is very, very healing to be out in nature. And I told you earlier, or did I? Henry David Thoreau, when we talked about exercise, Henry David Thoreau said that an early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day. And he's talking about walking outdoors. Ralph Waldo Emerson, these are my two buddies here.
Yes.
He said many wonderful things, but regarding nature, he said, adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience. You learn patience when you're outdoors and you study the nature around you. Maybe it's a local park. He also said, nature always wears the color of spirit. I always feel closer to God and my guardian angels and all the goodness of life when I'm outdoors in nature. So that needs to be part of your blueprint for healthy living.
So, Dr. Nature, just remember that, and you'll feel a whole lot better getting outdoors. We're doing today REJUVENATE, the acronym, going through things that we can all do to rejuvenate and shine. Next up is visualize your day ahead.
Yes, and I'm really big on looking at the end result in your mind's eye, creating a mental movie of a goal as it would look like if it was already achieved. This is called visualization. And Albert Einstein once said, your imagination is a preview of your life's coming attractions. I love that.
Yes.
Visualizing success and positive outcomes can help prepare us for the real thing, and decades of research back up Einstein's insightful sentiment. And in fact, athletes who visualize shooting baskets or hitting a hole in one significantly boost their performance in real life competition. Visualization, studies have shown, can actually improve motor skills. If visualization can make that much of an impact on human performance, imagine what it can do for you in your everyday life. Research has shown, Rick, that visualization can enhance motivation, increase confidence, and prime you for success. So let's just say, practically here, are you worried about an afternoon presentation? Visualize yourself successfully completing your talk, and you may be pleasantly surprised by how much easier it is to stand up in front of your audience when that time arrives. Visualization can also come in the form of positive affirmations, like you would say either silently to yourself or out loud, I am competent, I am strong, I am successful, whatever it is, I am grateful, I am healed, I am blessed, I am happy, I am peaceful, I am calm, or maybe going to sleep, I am sleepy. But affirming oneself positively is a way of imagining you as your best self. And for me, in the morning is the perfect time to spend some quiet time visualizing, because after I do my early morning prayer and meditation time, I then will always take a moment to visualize my day ahead of me, focusing on the successes I will have. It always helps the day go a little bit more smoothly. So keep in mind that even a minute of visualization and positive thinking can help improve your mood and your outlook. And in my book, Uplifted, I have in one of the chapters, I write about the power of your words and visualization, and I give you over 100 beautiful affirmations. You could pick one out every day to memorize it and say it throughout the day, and you'll see your day is just getting better and better. So good for mental health.
And the books we talk about specifically a lot, the newest are Uplifted, Hugging a Mug. You'll find information on Dr. Susan's website. All of the books are listed there. All of the books have great information. And we'll tell you before the conversation's over how you can get autographed copies of these books, all the books, including the new one that we'll mention as we get towards the end of the program today. Next up is Eat More Fruits and Veggies. Boy, we talk about this all the time. This would solve so many problems if we would follow through with this.
Yes. Now, listen, I'm first to agree that with so many food choices competing for our attention, it's understandable that even healthy-minded individuals can be bewildered about which is really the best way to eat. And I've always agreed with my grandmother, who taught me in detail when I was a teenager, Fritzy, we've talked about her a lot, who always taught me to eat my foods as nature made them, as close to the way nature made them, real, colorful, wholesome foods, and to eschew a beige and white diet, well, except garlic, onions, cauliflower. But this means whole food that naturally occurs in nature, not processed and packaged creations on the supermarket shelves that masquerade as food. You want to say no thank you to all those ultra-processed foods. And those items were not what nature intended for our bodies. And the best bet for a low-calorie, nutrient-dense, health-promoting food is to focus on fresh vegetables and fresh fruits. And the high water content produce of the fruits and veggies is the most important health care that your money can buy. Because I think, as my grandmother taught me, that vibrant health starts in the kitchen by choosing the most delicious foods that also help to heal the body. And by the way, these foods, Rick, are so high in fiber that you'll get that whole digestive system humming along as it was meant to, and you will no longer need any reading material in your bathroom, so you can get rid of the magazine rack. Colorful, fresh produce is chock full of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and these all neutralize the free radicals that lead to cell damage, disease states, and premature aging. And fresh fruits and vegetable consumption correlates with, you and I have talked about this on many previous shows, correlates with reduced risk of cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And as just mentioned, the fiber in these foods helps your digestive tract stay very healthy. And I guess I could summarize this by saying eating fruits and veggies has the added bonus of beautifying your skin, boosting your metabolism if you want to lose weight. The more veggies you eat, the more weight you're going to lose, and elevating your mood because they have so much nutrition in them. So when it comes to figuring out the best way to eat, you want to choose to eat whole food, wholesome food, natural foods diet, and you'll reap the benefits in your body, mind, and spirit. And again, a lot of people, especially when they get older, they get a little bit more clogged up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make as many trips as they need to into the bathroom. But when you eat lots of and by the way, no animal products have fiber. Fiber all comes from plant-based foods. You will discover that at least in the morning you'll have a great, and I'll just say it, bowel movement. And if you're lucky, you'll have a couple more bonus rounds throughout the day. And that would definitely be your goal. And what I always do first thing in the morning is I have a big glass of warmed hot water that I put the juice of a half or a whole lemon if it's small, and I drink it down. And it just helps to get that whole, usually about 30-foot digestive system moving.
All this information and much more on Dr. Susan's website. We're talking about Rejuvenate today, Rejuvenate and Shine. We're now up to N, which is Nourish Overall Well-Being with Ample Sleep, something else we talk about quite frequently.
Now, this is such an important topic. It's too bad that S wasn't the first letter of Rejuvenate, because then it would be Slejuvenate. but it's sleep. And there's nothing more restorative for the body than getting good sleep every night. You know, it was Shakespeare who once wrote that sleep knits up the raveled sleeve of care. I like that because that's a poetic way of saying that sleep repairs and restores the mental and physical damage wrought throughout our stressful days. But the cool thing is that science has confirmed Shakespeare's lyrical sentiment over and over, because the benefits of abundant rest are pretty much endless. Studies show that adequate sleep improves memory, promotes longevity, reduces inflammation, spurs creativity, improves your performance on physical and mental tasks, and also, not to mention, it increases safety when you get behind the wheel. And a lot of people forget, Rick, that it's during sleep when your body heals, rebuilds, detoxifies, revitalizes, and rejuvenates itself. You want to make sure, like I said earlier, you don't want to eat too close to bedtime.
Yes.
And for those people that might want to lose a little weight, keep in mind that our waistlines greatly benefit from plentiful sleep, too, because studies have shown that too little sleep makes you hungry, especially for high-calorie foods. In other words, it's harder to pass up the cupcake or the order of fries when you have too little sleep. And it also primes your body to hold on to all of the calories you eat, even healthier foods. And dieters who get more sleep lose more fat than their sleep-deprived counterparts, who tend to lose muscle mass You don't want to do that if you want to keep your weight health in a healthy level. So cheating sleep also boosts your insulin levels, which increases the risk of heart disease and diabetes. And let me just summarize this, because I bet some people are thinking, well, how much sleep do I need, and how will it help my emotions? Lack of sleep can be as damaging for your emotions as for your physical well-being, because getting too little sleep undermines your ability to deal with stress. You know how after a bad night's sleep, how you're cranky and less patient that next day, or I am. And during sleep, the body eliminates extra amounts of the stress hormone cortisol. Those who get less than adequate sleep on a chronic basis are also at much higher risk for depression. And you and I have had entire shows, Rick, on sleep over the century we've worked together. And so I'll just bottom line it here. The takeaway is that studies show that 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night is the ideal amount to promote physical and psychological health. And to assure a good night's sleep, let's stick to this: a regular sleep schedule, same time to go to bed, to wake up every morning. Create a bedtime ritual that might include, if you can, a warm bath. Put a little lavender in it. It will help you relax, promote sleep. And arrange your bedroom so that it's cool, dark, and quiet. You'll wake refreshed. You'll be ready to tackle for the day's challenges, and might even be ready to write some poetry of your own. So watch out, Shakespeare. And something else I've shared with you before, that if you need a little help in bed and you can't get to sleep, or you've gotten up to use the bathroom and you made a mistake of turning that light on bright, which shuts down melatonin, so use a faint night light, and you're back in bed and, oh gosh, you're counting the hours until you wake up. I've done that too. Take your right thumb and press it on your right nostril like I'm doing right now, and only breathe through your left nostril, in and out, slowly, slowly. Breathe deeply and slowly, and maybe say an affirmation while you're doing it. Like maybe say, I am, as you breathe in, and use whatever adjective you need at the time. I am peaceful, I am calm, I am sleepy, I am blessed, I am healed, I am successful, I am strong, whatever. And you exhale to that adjective. You could do that. Or one of my favorites is, in the Bible, Matthew 4:39, you know, peace be still. I love to, and when I meditate, I do this. But when I hold my right nostril to help me sleep better, I do this too. I'll breathe in to peace. I think it quietly, silently in my mind. Hold the breath a few seconds, and then slowly exhale to the words be still, peace be still. And this works because by doing left nostril breathing, holding your right nostril and closing off the air, hopefully you don't have an allergy or a cold and you can still breathe through the left nostril.
Yes.
Yeah, but when you do this, it changes your brainwave activity from beta consciousness, which is where I hope all the listeners are now, because that's waking consciousness. And the next slower level is alpha, where the brainwave activity slows down. And then as you breathe more slowly and deeply in and out, saying your affirmation, then you slowly go into theta, that's deep level, and then you drift off to sleep, which is delta. So that breathing exercise really can make a difference with helping you to what? Sleep like a baby.
Well, and it's all of this and much more on Susan's website. And these are all things that you can do. So be sure that you get pick up a copy or understand what we're talking about with Rejuvenate and Shine. So many great tips for all facets of your life. And if you are proud of yourself for getting 4 hours of sleep, don't brag about it. You're not a hero. You all have these people that all of them, I only need 4 hours of sleep as they drive off the road. So, you know, you really need your sleep. And it's something we've talked about again for years on our interviews. Next up is adjust your attitude to include plenty of gratitude. So important. Talk about this.
Oh gosh, this makes all the difference, night and day difference of being a happy, pleasant, peaceful, and even successful, studies are showing, person as opposed to the opposite. You see, there's tremendous healing power in focusing on the positive aspects of your life and being grateful for all of the good things that you have going on. And even during times of loss and stress, I know, as my grandmother used to always say to me, I've told you this before, she used to say to me, Susan, your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. So I want you all to color your life positive. In my Uplifted book, I have an entire chapter called Speak and Write in a Positive Light. And I write about and give studies on the power of what you say and what you think and the words you write, you know, and the words you speak. And they are very powerful. And I've given you my 260 favorite positive words. 260 I have. They're glorious words. And I leave a few lines at the end of that saying, if you have some words, and they're all in alphabetical order, and if you have words that I forgot, then you write them right here in the book. And all right, so, and I'll agree, it's common sense that focusing on all your gifts and your blessings rather than harping on everything that's wrong or unsatisfying can allow you to maintain an optimistic perspective. But the idea that gratitude helps buoy us, Rick, during stressful times is also now, thank goodness, supported by research. And those who catalog the positive things in their lives on a regular basis have been discovered to be, through numerous studies, worldwide, by the way, are healthier, happier, more motivated, less stressed, and more well-rested. And they even have more positive and fulfilling relationships with others. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, I count my blessings once a year in November on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm going to say that we shouldn't leave the task of counting our blessings for only one day in November, because each and every day, this is the key to having a happy, healthy, and successful life. You take a moment to be grateful for all you have in life. Maybe you write a thank you note. Maybe you express your gratitude for a loved one, or you offer prayers of thankfulness during a meditation. Because here's a key life lesson, not many in this visit here, but here's one. What you think about consistently brings more of the same right back into your life. So you want to focus on the positive, even during difficult times, because that is the path to transforming your life.
We're going through Rejuvenate with tips that will get you through life, a more enjoyable trip through life. And all of this, again, in various books from Dr. Susan, Uplifted, she mentioned, A Hug and a Mug. All this information and the monthly newsletters on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're now up to the final T in Rejuvenate. Take time to pray, meditate, and breathe deeply.
So I love this one because we can all breathe deeply. We can all pray day or night, and we can all learn how to do a little meditation. It's not difficult. You don't have to be a monk to know how to meditate. This simple, cost-free practice has been scientifically proven to heal the body, boost immunity, reverse your aging, because, Rick, people that meditate on a daily basis are physiologically 12 to 15 years younger than people of the same age who don't meditate, all proven by scientific studies. So it helps reverse aging, and it helps lift your mood from negative to positive. Now, there's no one single way to meditate. My grandmother taught me as a teenager, and I've been doing it pretty much on a daily basis. Sometimes I don't get it in, but majority of the time I do, since I was a teenager. And the essence of meditation is really mindfulness. In other words, it's being in the present moment. You could be meditating while walking or driving, and it's all about your state of mind. You don't focus on the mistakes of the past or the to-do lists of the future. You just simply nudge yourself to experience the present by noticing your breath. That's important for all of us to do more on a regular basis. Notice your breathing. Are you breathing quickly? Are your shoulders going up to your ears when you take in a breath? Are you relaxed? Remember to bring your shoulders up, back, and down. But you nudge yourself into that experience of the present by notice your breath or maybe nature around you. Or maybe you just sit, close your eyes, focus on your breathing, inhale and exhale slowly and deeply, focusing on the sound and rhythm of your breathing. Because why breathing deeply? It's one of the best and quickest ways, Rick, to reduce stress, to burn more calories, because you're getting in more oxygen. Helps you to burn more fat, by the way. You increase your creativity. You release fear. You bolster your confidence. You supercharge your energy. And there's one room in the house, if you live with other people, where usually people won't want to bother you. Where you maybe you make yes. an area. Can you guess what room that is?
Yep, and it's indoors.
Yes, that's right. It's not the outhouse. That's right. So, you know, but I have the corner of my bedroom where I have a little beautiful little meditation corner. But mindful meditation, to summarize, gets you out of your head and into your body. It calms the mind and body. It allows you to maintain emotional balance. It lowers blood pressure. It soothes your gut. And it makes the body less reactive to stress hormones. We all need this. Meditation is, like I like to say, Rick, a triple whammy. It's a salve, S-A-L-V-E, salve for the body, mind, and spirit.
For those of you who are spelling along at home, you heard me say we're now up to the final T. Of course, there's only one T in rejuvenate. I just did that to see if you were listening. But
I know you did.
But there are three E's in rejuvenate, and it's very impressive that you were able to come up with three different E's. We close out rejuvenate with the final E. I feel like we're playing some TV game show here with vowels and consonants. What is the final E? What does that represent?
Yeah, and I had to be creative on all these letters to figure this out. But it's enjoy daily laughter and tickle your funny bones. You know, if you're worried about something, if you're stressed out, if it's your monthly bills, poor grades of your child, whatever stress it is, one way to mollify this is to make sure your life is filled with laughter. As my mom used to say to me, June, it's laughter is the elixir of the soul. And according to the research, I like looking at the studies like I wrote about in A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted and Enjoying the Butterfly, by the way. The butterfly teaches joy about laughter. Laughter releases endorphins in the body. And these, Rick, act as a natural stress buster. That's why a good aerobic workout is a great stress buster. And a good belly laugh gives your heart muscles a good workout, improves circulation, stimulates alertness hormones, fills your beautiful, miraculous lungs with oxygen-rich air, cleans your respiratory passages, And as Norman Cousins taught me, the late Norman Cousins, who was a friend of mine, who wrote Anatomy of an Illness.
Oh, yes.
And Anatomy of an Illness, yeah, it helps relieve pain. He used to watch segments of Candid Camera and laugh so hard, remember? And he didn't have pain. Laughter also counteracts fear, anger, and depression, all of which are linked to illness and stress. So, so how can we tickle your funny bone? Maybe you find a silly movie or a TV comedy that you enjoy. Maybe there's a local comedy club in your area. Find humorous books and articles that interest you. By the way, in Uplifted, not only do I have an intermission section, but I have two intermission sections where I tell you a lot of jokes and funny stories just to get you to laugh during this reading this book. I like to spend time with friends and family members who genuinely make me laugh. And don't forget this, too. You got to laugh at yourself once in a while when you make a mistake or you do something unexpected, because it's a humbling experience and one that reminds you not to take your life too seriously. Life is meant to be enjoyed. There's that old Scottish saying that angels fly because they take themselves lightly. And if anyone listening now thinks, well, this all sounds good, but I have no reason to smile, I'm going to give you four. And I learned all these from my mom and my grandmother. It always makes you feel better when you smile. It firms your facial muscles. And I want my facial muscles to not be loose and saggy. I want them to be firm. It makes people, Rick, wonder what you've been up to when you're always walking around smiling,
that,
right?
Yes.
And it's the shortest distance between two people. And I think in a world where so much conflict exists between people of different religions and races, backgrounds, political affiliations, I believe that the greatest bridge to understanding and peace is always through laughter, love, kindness, smiling more. Of course, like I wrote about throughout Joy and the Butterfly, living by the golden rule. And it all comes down to Ralph Waldo Emerson also said, health is our greatest wealth. And this, for me, it's physical, mental, and spiritual health. They're all connected as one. Body reflects the mind reflects the spirit. When you can start with your attitude of gratitude, like we're talking about now, followed by laughter, smiling more, love, kindness, because in a world where we can really be anything, we've got to choose to be more kind, not only to others, but also to ourselves. That would be a great show all about kindness on another visit with
yes.
you. But, you know, so there you have it. See how many of these tips from the word rejuvenate you can incorporate into your life today, this week, this month. Share them with family and friends. Ask others to team up with you on enriching the quality of your daily lives. I'm going to join in with you, and together, let's all make our lives the best they can be.
And these are all doable. That's the nice thing. And all of these in detail at Dr. Susan's website. And if you're looking for something to tickle your funny bone and you're thinking, what can I need a good laugh now. What can I do? Look for Chuckles the Clown, the Mary Tyler Moore episode. You will Google it. You'll find it. That's a half an hour. I guarantee you, you'll be laughing till you're crying by the end of that program. Just one of the many ways out there that you can. And if Norman Cousins would have had that, he'd still be alive today. This was so good. It was so humorous. And it's available. You Google it. You'll find Chuckles the Clown, MTV. Let's wrap things up here a little bit and talk about the books. We've talked about this before, Uplifted, A Hug and a Mug. Where can you get the companion books, Uplifted, A Hug and a Mug, information on all the other books, and the newly released award-winning Children's Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden? Where on the website can we get that, and where can we sign up for these healthy newsletters that I keep talking about that you'll enjoy when you get them?
Yes, for sure. All right. So you can find all of this on my website. It's my name, SusanSmithJones.com. Make sure in the top right there, click on the beautiful X with the flowers around it, and follow me on X. And in the navigation bar, you'll see books, and you can click on A Hug and a Mug or Uplifted or Join the Butterfly, and there it will tell you how you could actually get an autographed copy from me that I autograph, and I write a personal handwritten note to you, and I include a bookmark, and I send it, these books, to people all over the world. But of course, Amazon has them. My website on the book pages will show you what to do if you want to get personally autographed books. By the way, I didn't tell you this, but I've broken down, and I've had X for a long time, but I finally just recently got Instagram, so I can start putting a lot of my videos on it.
Oh, yes, that'd be perfect.
And other interviews, like our interviews, and I've just got it, and I have no followers. And it's my name, Susan Smith Jones, PhD, because I discovered that there are multiple other Susan Smith Joneses.
Oh, okay.
Someone has a seamstress store. Someone has makeup recommendations. So I had to do my PhD. So you go to Susan Smith Jones, PhD. I'd be so grateful to get some followers.
Well, yes, go that. Yeah, do that. I mean, and that's a great place. And everybody goes to Instagram except me. So, you've now signed up. So it's up to me now to get going.
I was with you, actually, until I just started this. And then this new book, I initially wrote it for children, but now adults are loving it as much as children. It's a novelette. It's not a picture book. It's a real story, 155 pages, called Join the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. And a quick overview is, you know, the bottom line is about discovering the magic of ordinary days. And while exploring her family's farmland with her horse Champ, Joy is a 10-year-old girl. She and her family recently moved to the countryside to escape the hustle and bustle of the city life. It's kind of like my ideal. If I could pick my childhood, this is how I would want it to be. She rescues a caterpillar from harm, and her small act of kindness leads to an extraordinary bond with this dazzling multicolored butterfly that later emerges from its chrysalis. Is that how you say it?
That's chrysalis. How I would say it, yes.
And it becomes a butterfly. And then Joy embarks on countless delightful adventures alongside the butterfly, her siblings, parents, her beautiful pets, her school teacher, all while discovering valuable life lessons along the line, such as simple ways to bolster confidence and courage, the power of, guess what, gratitude and kindness, the joys of living a simple life, how to be serene and positive, appreciation for nature and all living beings, the art of building hope and faith. And then most importantly, Joy learns that each day presents us through all these lessons and challenges she goes through. Each day presents us with a blessed opportunity to learn, grow, live more fully, optimize our well-being and happiness. But only when we pay more attention to the whispers of our hearts. And you'll discover, along with Joy, that each day comes bearing precious gifts to us from God. We just need to untie the ribbons. And then, I'll just put this out there, near the end of the book, Joy discovers something, Rick, that is so gloriously wonderful. And she asks you, she tells you in the intro of the book, and also in her afterword, she asks you not to tell anyone this big secret who hasn't read the book yet, because we want people to be surprised. And here's a hint. It will knock your socks off. And so you mentioned it won an award. When you write a book for children, and again, all the adults reading it who before they give it to kids or grandkids are loving it as much as the children. In fact, I just had a book signing at a church, the local Brentwood Presbyterian Church close to where I live, and it was mostly adults that wanted the book. All the kids did, but then the rest were all adults. And there are three organizations that give out awards for books, and everyone who does a children's book knows that the most prestigious honor, it's like getting a Pulitzer Prize for a children's book, is from Mom's Choice Awards. And they just honored this book for this year with the gold medal as the most family-friendly book.
Congratulations, that's
incredible.
Inspiring
story.
Beautiful.
So I feel so honored. And so I say it's for kids of all ages, because younger kids can look at the images, and I have a few pages in the back where I help adults with the right questions to ask the young kids who can't read yet about the images to help them learn a lot of things, because I used to be a school teacher, as you know. And then the older kids, of course, can read it. The adults can read it. And it is such a fun read. It will make you laugh and cry. And it's a page-turner. People tell me that it's got 18 chapters, and the storylines in each chapter are just unbelievable for transforming our lives, and how this little girl, 10-year-old, she's a twin. Her brother is Blaze. They're both 10-year-olds. And what they learn in life, and how by doing acts of kindness and dealing with bullies and learning to ride horses and other things, and then they're magical creatures in this secret, beautiful, magical garden that all start to talk, and she talks to trees and flowers, and how she changes the whole community because she's bright and positive and grateful and learns all these life lessons.
It's an amazing story, an award-winning story, gold award from the Mom's Choice Award organization.
Yeah.
We will talk about that, of course, on future interviews with Dr. Susan Smith Jones. Book now available. Information on our website. The book is Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. And yes, butterfly is the word with two T's. That's how we'll conclude today. That's how we'll wrap up the program today. There, I knew it was a word. I knew I could come up with a word that has two T's in it. Susan, always a pleasure. So much fun. Let's do it again, okay?
Let's do it next month. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget to celebrate yourself and life today.
Rejuvenate. You've got to make a list of those and go down a little checklist maybe every day. So much great information there. You can download the program, any one of the top podcasting networks. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and have this little list. It's a blueprint for your life that will make your life better. And we appreciate Dr. Susan spending time with us on the program today. And her website, SusanSmithJones.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.